morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I am here, and it's Thursday, and Matt is behind. And Matt, it's good to see you again.
Happy Thursday. It's a good week.
I'm back, and I'm back without the shoulder cast and sling, and good news from that all around. The x-rays show that everything is healing, and I should be back to normal in 3 weeks. That means I can put my shirt on and my t-shirts and my pants.
I just assumed there was a great party in Florida.
It's been a challenge, but
you should have seen the other guy, right?
Thank goodness we heal quickly here in the warm tropical atmosphere of Tucson. Good morning to my co-host Tim Vimmerstadt.
Good morning, Tommy. I'm glad you're healing.
It's a good feeling. Let me just tell you where I now have two arms and two shoulders again, and we're back for another wonderful Thursday broadcast of The Morning Voice, and we're going to talk today about family entertainment. And, you know, this has been a phenomenon since Tim and I joined together and in the 1990s at Old Tucson. He was over there doing some catering sales and some events at Trail Dust Town, and we had a wonderful interview last Thursday with Casey Wills. For some reason, I kept calling him Charlie. I don't know why that is, Tim, but you need to slap me around a little bit every once in a while. But we had a good. And I think I'm going to see him tonight too for a special event with the Tucson networking group that's going to be there at Savoy Opera House. Very popular. You know, what was really interesting, I saw Tony and Casey talking last Thursday. And these are the two probably best Western ballrooms that are available at Old Tucson and at Trail Dust Town. And I believe their conversation was, you know, when somebody wants to come here at Savoy and we're booked, how about they come to Old Tucson? And Old Tucson was sharing the same thought as well. So it's really nice when you see two companies, two competitors come together and start working together. Because, you know, if you want to do a Western ballroom and you can't find one, or at least the one you want to go, and if there's a wonderful alternative, just give the guy a call, because I'm sure he'll accommodate them and take good care with that group as you would. So, Timmy, that was our philosophy at Old Tucson, wasn't it?
It was, and that's actually how I met you. I was booked solid at the Savoy Opera House, and I called Roger Brookins to say I need a place to refer people, and you guys invited me out and offered me a job.
Well, I'm not quite sure that was the intention there of whoever the Casey Wills was before. You know, I guess it was the owner there of agricultural land and cattle. Wonderful fellow, that wonderful architecture and dreamer of Western facades. You know, Casey was telling me that every single building that is at Trail Dust Town is a replica of some Western building that was researched over the many, many years that Trail Dust Town was building that location. Back in the 1960s is when it opened. And he had some great stories that we can't really share on the radio regarding the days of their arcade and how competitive it was to get a pinball machine, you know, inside their arcade. But if you want to listen to that, you'll have to come to one of our Tucson, every once in a while we'll have a kind of a get-together at a restaurant or a local watering ground, and the morning show has a little get-together for its fans, its listening audience, so we'll let you know when the next one is, and you can hear those kind of stories. So, Timmy, it's always our tradition to start the Thursday with what is going on this weekend. And I wish I could tell you the stories of what happened to the favorite margarita event that we've been promoting, but I know it was a blast, and it was if it wasn't sold out, it was close to being sold out. We'll have to bring Saka on to tell us, after all, since Tucson is, America's choice for Mexican food, we certainly need to make sure that we understand that there, besides the wonderful Mexican food, there's also some wonderful drinks that are associated, as we associate it, with Mexican right. food as well, and that's the margarita. And we just had a kind of like the best margarita function here that Timmy's been talking about for a couple of weeks. So, but what's going on this weekend, Tim?
Well, Discovery Nights at Children's Museum Tucson. Visit Children's Museum Tucson for a free night of science, art, including story times and pop-up science experiments. Thursday, so it starts tonight, 5 to 7, and it's free. Then back to Old Tucson, the Saguaro Sunset Night Market has returned for June 28th, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Been a summer mainstay at Old Tucson. The Saguaro Sunset Night Market is back. We want you to join Old Tucson for an eclectic array of arts, crafts, food vendors, and for a summer evening of strolling the historic Main Street and Town Square, supporting local artists, enjoying live music and tasty food and drinks. Bars, restaurants, rides, and attractions are all open. Entry and parking are free. So we invite you to come on out to Old Tucson, enjoy a little bit cooler weather out there. It's usually about 15 degrees cooler. And then we have the Sunset Cruise-In happening tomorrow at the Tucson Auto Museum. And then Tohono Chul is doing live music, drinks, tasty eats, family fun, free admission Fridays and Saturdays, 6 to 9 p.m. Gates open at 5:30. And that runs all the way through August 30th. So invite you to go to thisistucson.com and visit tucson.org to learn more about these and more chilling events. And it's my birthday today. So
well, hey, it's your birthday. Well, happy birthday, Tim. We've known each other for, I guess now we could say decades almost, yeah? 28 years. When you walk through my door, and a good thing your boss was recording my meetings, or we would have had probably a different situation than how we grew together. But that's another story that we'll elaborate if you come to our. Well, Tim, there's also a very special event that you were a big part of when you put the sunglasses on George. Share a minute or two about what happens in Desert Museum during the summer on Saturday nights.
Well, it's cool summer evenings at the Desert Museum, and they stay open till I believe 9:30 or 10 o'clock on Saturday nights. We used to call it summer Saturday evenings, but the entire facility is open. Fine dining, the quick service grill. Dozens and dozens of docents doing animal interpretations, special presentations in the theater. It's just a fantastic way to spend the evening.
Yeah, and they're a little bit uniquely different than some of the attractions that are open in the evening. They don't chew you out. In other words, I didn't say shoot. They don't throw you out the front gate.
No.
So if you happen to come at 4 or 5 o'clock, you can stay as all the way until they close. So I thought that was always kind of a unique contribution to summer evenings. And for those that don't remember who George is, who was George?
George was the name given to the mountain lion out at the Desert Museum. I believe in 1954, the first mountain lion came to the Desert Museum, and it came on President's Day, so they named him George L. Mountain Lion.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot still going on. I mean, there's indoor attractions. Certainly, there's morning attractions. The Desert Museum used to be a place where you went. It opens very early, and then they would come to Old Tucson. and, you know, kind of hunker down in the saloon and enjoy the can-can show and then kind of walk around from building to building. Yeah. Don't spend too much time outside. But this new thing at Old Tucson, they're trying. They are, in a sense, closed for the Western experiences, but they have tours, movie tours are still going on. They also have ghost tours. But last year they tried this, I want to say it's kind of like the Tanger Verde swap meet on steroids, because they put the word out where they wanted to have an evening festival or evening event. And, of course, all of the entertainment and the rides and so on or so forth, Old Tucson sample of entertainment is still going on, and of course they have their restaurants open, but they wanted to bring the very best artists and vendors together after the sun sets. And the first one they had last year was completely misjudged. In other words, they had like 3,000 people come over the mountain or come down the mountain, I should say, and Gates Pass, and they were just extremely overwhelmed, but everybody had a great time. Then, of course, they had another one where they had ample staffing and food and beverages and so on, and it was just a blast. This year, they decided to do three of them, and I think the Attractions Alliance is going to be at the next one, which is, I believe, next Saturday. We're going to give it a try. We're going to have passports there at very, very special prices, because there's only 6 months left on the Tucson Attractions passport, because we come out with a new one. But we're going to learn more about that as we come back from the break, Matt. So this is The Morning Voice, and thank you for joining us as we're going to talk a little bit about family entertainment centers when we get back.
Hey, it's roasting in Tucson, but we can imagine we're at the beach. And if you'd like to follow along on Facebook, go to 1030 The Voice. That's our page, and we're streaming the show there as well.
Well, thank you, Matt. That's exactly what I was doing about 2 weeks ago until the big fall,
as
we say. It was a great time in Miami, and we're here again. You know, back every Thursday we talk about tourism and attractions, and one of the phenomena that's been going on, and you know, it isn't been overnight, but when Tim and I became part of the senior leadership at Old Tucson, a lot of the attractions, and I say most of the big attractions, were for adults, as we used to say, empty nesters, folks that were coming into town, and they were 50 plus, and they weren't bringing their kids. And, you know, so now there were a few attractions, you know, like the Desert Museum, that did real well with families, and of course Reed Park Zoo, but nothing like what's going on right now. And a lot of this phenomena has to do with our changing demographics. So, you know, back then we had less than 1 million people in the Pima County area, and now we have well over 1 million folks. Our median age did get a little bit younger over that time period. Now, the last few years, it's leveled off, especially around COVID days, but we did grow a little bit, but our senior population, but we're not overwhelmed with seniors. We're kind of a really nice mix of young families and seniors. So I think that's probably the best of both worlds, because the seniors get to bring their grandkids in, so we get to enjoy that tourism phenomena as well. But what's happened is with a lot of the large buildings closing, whether it be one of their retail outlets or the large Sears, for example, closed at the two malls, there's this need for more things to do with families with younger children. And as a result of that, we have been seeing a really huge growth spurt Now, Funtastics has always been around for a long, long time over there and behind Tucson Mall, and it's done fairly well, and it's created some indoor and outdoor attractions. It's you know they tried it to be more than just an arcade, and so they've been a staple. They've had several owners over the years. A lot of them have been former Six Flags employees or other large theme parks. So they've added a lot, but that's not the only one. So so a lot of this is just going to be by my knowledge, and of course I'm not going to share everything with you, because every one of those folks that we like to promote are very vital to our family entertainment mix, because the more things we have to do for families, the more valuable time that you have with mom and dad is always a good thing. So the first one I wanted to just briefly mention, and you know, it's at the Sears, old Sears at Park Place. And you know, it's kind of you know, we call it a family entertainment center because it's really everything to do, not only just for the kids, but what the family can do with, you know, and that's called Round One. And it's really interesting because it's a Japanese arcade. It has karaoke, it has billiards, and it has bowling. Now, you're going to hear a little bit of bowling, how bowling has, you know, been around for a long, long, long time. Didn't do any research on when bowling started. But you know, it started many, many years ago. And, so bowling, which is a great activity for family, has been incorporated into a lot of these family entertainment centers. Now, family entertainment centers generally are not a tourism, activity. Generally it's about a 10-mile radius. So that's why you can see many of these open, you know, within a 10-mile radius of each other, because that's their primary audience. However, when families are in town and after they do the Desert Museum and Reed Park Zoo and now even Pima Air and Space and Old Tucson have children's and family activities, they maybe look for something where the kids can get rid of some of their energy. So generally, family entertainment centers, besides the staple arcades and bowling and laser tag, they will also have anything that where the kids can climb, Matt, or they could jump. What are some other things that you can think of that kids like to do?
Just run their brains out, man.
That's right. I was going to say, yeah. Run around, you know, a safe environment. And of course, all of these new ones that are opening up are completely climate controlled. And at when we come up on the break, after the break, 7:30-ish, Old Tucson is getting into this game as well. And Natalie, their marketing manager, will be with us. And she's going to share, you know, finally, we've been listening or hearing or speculating what's going on at Old Tucson and what the folks over there at the Heritage Railways and Durango, the management contract folks that are running Old Tucson right now on behalf of Pima County, you know, what is their plans for the future? And they've started to enact some of those plans. So we're not going to have a big in-depth interview with Natalie, but we're going to hear about some of the things that are there now and some of the things that are coming soon. So now, Main Event is another of a phenomena that's happening all over the world, and I mean literally. And they have decided that there could be more than one in each town, depending on the population. And we have one over there off of Valencia or so, that area, and it's doing really well. And again, as I mentioned, there's bowling. And there's arcade machines, and there's laser tag. This one's a little bit different because it's connected to Dave & Buster's, which is what I call kind of an adult arcade, but they have food. And that's another common denominator with, you know, Peter Piper has been here in this community. Matt, you know how long? It's been a long time.
Peter Piper? Well, I remember them in the Valley in the 70s. So.
Yes. So, and they were probably one of the first family entertainers.
Sure.
They were,
of course.
I think they were before Chuck E. Cheese Pizza, of all things.
I would hazard to guess yes on that one.
And I recently met the gentleman that owned Peter Piper, and he sold it to Chuck E. Cheese Pizza of all places. but he prided himself not only having, you know, the newest machines where family can watch on as Junior played the, but they pride themselves on some of the best pizza in town. And I have to say, everybody that I've talked to that's had an experience of Peter Piper Pizza before they sold out to Chuck E. Cheese Pizza, because I don't know much about it after they sold out to Chuck E. Cheese Pizza, their pizza was really good. And they're scattered throughout town, and as you said, Arizona. You know, so they were probably the first family entertainment center. But Main Event came in and kind of expanded that arcade. You know, these machines are huge. They're incorporating AI, CGI. I mean, immersive is what the word they use, where you get to sit in. Or my favorite was the Jurassic Park, where you're sitting in a Jeep and you get to drive around Jurassic Island and kill dinosaurs, you know. So, and you have your choices of guns and so on. But the cool thing is you have a partner. Now, if you don't have someone sitting next to you, the computer chooses a CGI character that's sitting in the Jeep and really giving you ways to maneuver around Jurassic Park and find the dinosaur that's trying to eat you. And, of course, you kill it. And that's kind of an interesting – so Main Event has taken the – and Dave and Buster's have taken the reality and really you don't have to wear goggles, but they do have some machines where you wear goggles, but it's a wonderful place. You know, so family entertainment centers are here to stay, and they're really growing. And we'll be right back with the Morning Voice, and this is Tom Moulton, your host.
You can follow along with us on Facebook. 1030 The Voice is the Facebook page. You can see your voice. We'll be right back after the break.
Well, we're back. This is the Morning Voice here on KVOI, trusted local news and talk. And it was nice to see Patty yesterday. Matt, we were bringing in the brand new Mexican baseball team. Have you read about this?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we've been since 2010. We kind of lost spring training, which goes back to 1946 with the Cleveland Indians. So this town has really missed spring training. And while we've tried our best with soccer and some other things, you know, so there's been a group of people, kind of a carryover from the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, which I was a part of. And it's now called the Southern Arizona Sports and Tourism and Film.
Blake's been with all of us. Yeah.
Blake's been here a couple times, well, three times actually, probably with, I think he was on here with Ted Maxwell as well. Anyway, we had a big press conference yesterday at Keno Sports Complex. All the partnerships together, Pima County certainly a big part of it since it's Keno Sports Complex, and it's been a group of folks that run the Winter League in Hermosillo, and which is a Mexican baseball league. As I mentioned, it's a Winter League. It's the same. It's professional baseball. It's the third largest, which I didn't know this, third largest baseball next to Major League Baseball. And they are developing a brand new team that will start playing in October at Keno. Mexican as part of the Mexican Baseball Winter League. And this is really big news because the connection we have with Hermosillo, especially Sonora, Mexico, is a very strong family-tied connection. And so anyway, the announcement was made, and everybody's in. The money's in place. They all actually even have a baseball schedule. They don't have a name yet, so they're going to do some kind of a community contest. And we'll have actually a meeting with the team's president, I think it is, or at least he's the person behind this partnership with everyone here in the community at 11 o'clock today. So we're going to get him on the radio and interview him in depth on how this came back. Some of you remember Rubio Durazo, graduate of the U of A, and played for the Arizona Diamondbacks. It also played for the Winter League in Irma Seal. Met his wife in Sonora, Mexico, and he was a big fan of Tucson when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you know, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm hoping he somehow gets involved if the owners are listening. Well, on the phone is old Tucson. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Now, you're coming live from where today?
Well, I'm actually in Michigan at the moment, so I'm escaping the heat. But I hear it's already pretty gnarly. The summer is well and truly here, I'm told.
Yeah, that first part of the summer, it seems like the last 2 years or maybe 3 years now, is the hottest part of the summer. Mm-hmm. One would think August, but that is pretty darn hot when you get out of the studio or you come out of your workplace. But Natalie, we're talking about all kinds of things today, and we were talking about things to do with families and how important. Mm-hmm. We're still a little bit underserved as far as the quality activities. And when we say quality family activities, we don't just mean going to a place where there are things for kids. We're talking about things where mom and dad can participate along with their kids. And this is something we recognized at Old Tucson many, many years ago, as you know, as when I was the GM. And in Old Tucson, let's say, you know, attacked this issue very aggressively with an educational program around Western Heritage, so the kids could come over and make adobe bricks, and they actually, you know, help build a building or an enclosure next to you know, to the Mission Theater. And you know, and over the years they've had science projects and various other activities just for the kids. But you're going to take that to the next level, and I understand you've already started adding new rides, and you have big plans coming up. As I always ask Tony, can you come with just one secret?
as you well know, I'm not really at liberty to spill the secret, but I can certainly speak to the things that we're trying to do to, well, it's twofold for us at the moment. It's trying to increase the opportunities and activities that essentially beat the heat, things to do early in the day and things to do late in the day. And then, of course, as you touched on, like things that are all inclusive for the family. You know, obviously we're very proud of our rich film history, and the sort of historic preservation side of Old Tucson is very important to us on the ground and the parent company, American Heritage Railway. But it's also about finding a way to make it relevant and new, and to bring in another generation to enjoy the park. So we're sort of working pretty tirelessly at the moment to figure out the best order to do those things, what to add and when. And as you mentioned, Tom, we've started with the addition of some new rides. We're expanding our children's area. The Silver Lake area of Old Tucson is ever growing and expanding. People will be, you know, those that have seen it recently have enjoyed, you know, the addition of the Pony Express. We've got our car convoy. We're in the process of bringing back the A cars, which I know is a big popular one for a lot of local Tucsonans who remember them from before. And that's going to continue. We're continuing to add more for the little ones and expand that area. Over the summer, what we're super excited about is the addition of our Saguaro Sunset Night Markets, which I don't recall, Tom, did you make it along to one of those last year?
Well, so actually Tony and I had a conversation, and I'm going to be there for your next one coming up as AAA booth.
Fantastic. Oh, well, we'll be delighted to have you. For those listening that are not familiar with what we're offering, our night markets are essentially an opportunity to invite people in to enjoy our park, you know, after dark from sunset onwards. From 6 p.m. to 9:30, we're running a night market of local artisans, vendors, food trucks, all kinds. We've got live entertainment. We have some of our rides and attractions open for those that are interested in participating, which is great because it means there's something for the little ones to do while mom and dad are shopping. And, of course, our bars and restaurants too. So it's a really wonderful way to enjoy our property without the, you know, without the blaring midday sun. And we've been seeing a lot of people coming through, which is wonderful. Our first one was on June 7th. The next one is June 28th. We have a July 12th and an August 23rd. And most importantly for those listening, this is a free event. Free parking, free event. Just bring your spending money and your smiles.
Well, you had a few rides that you put in, and just before, it was kind of towards the end of the operating year for you, and how are those doing?
They're doing great. We've especially the Pony Express, because that's sort of a ride for kids young and old. We don't have any limitations on that. So more often than not, I see the grown-ups out there riding those, you know, with our beautiful vista behind. The little car convoy is more for the sort of 42-inch and unders, or I should say the, like, 100-pound and unders, but that's been a really big hit. As you know, Tom, we've got mini golf now, carnival games, all kinds. We're really expanding what we're doing in that sort of children's area. And the sluice, of course, too, you know, we sort of re-kitted that out. That's all been rebuilt, and families are enjoying and all the sort of fun rides and attraction side of Old Tucson while still being able to take advantage of our tours, which continue to run over the summer. We have four of those daily for the historical tours, and then we're also doing our ghost tours on the weekend evenings. So there's really something for everybody over the summer, even though obviously the heat kind of makes it nigh impossible for us to continue to run a full stunt show and entertainment slate. But we do have plenty going on at the park.
Well, I know you know the guy that puts the entertainment shows together.
I'm familiar with him, yes.
And I think you guys, how are you doing? I mean, you're doing great. You're going to have a baby, so I know it's not a secret. It's not a secret. And, you know, a lot of the activities here in Tucson they're family-owned or family-operated, mm-hmm. or they have family members. So to see you two guys work together is wonderful. And clearly, I'm sure there's some kind of off-property discussions that take place do you really like the show? Is there anything else I can add to the show? And I know that's going on.
Collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. And audience, obviously, marketing people want audience participation. And this what's really, I mean, when I was there, the owner, Helene Levy, would see a script, and then she would come and see the show, and she would say, "You know what, Tom? There's not enough audience participation." So that was her push. Even though there may have been a lot of audience participation, she wanted to really, us to think about adding more. And being interactive and involving the family, and, you know, that's something that I know all of us that are associated with the Attractions Alliance, we want to be more than just an empty nester park. We want to be more than just a tourism park. We want to be able to have the residents enjoy it, and that way they bring family and friends. So, Natalie, I know you're in Michigan and you're enjoying yourself, and I really appreciate you calling in and helping us understand a little bit. It's just not the family entertainment centers that are filling the gap, but it's the folks that have been around, the attractions that have been around, especially Old Tucson since 1939, that understand that they must do, and they are delivering things to do for the family. So thanks again, Natalie. And when's the baby due now?
Well, it's been moved forward a little, so August 5th is the expected due date now. So the joke we're making is we're expanding our little entourage of little cowboys. We already have one four-year-old that loves the park and wants to be a stuntman, and we're adding to that. So,
and thank you very much. And, you know, my children were playing skee ball at 3 years old. So, and the feedback is wonderful when you. So how did you like it? And then they, in their own words, will tell you if they liked it or they didn't like it. So thanks again, you guys. Yeah. Have a great vacation and be safe. And we'll see you soon with that other baby coming up. All right. This is The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back. And coming up at the 8:00, David Weinstein from Jumping Cholla. We can't wait to hear Dave talk about one of the newest FECs here in town. Well, thank you, Matt, for playing those lively tunes, because we are talking about family entertainment centers all this Thursday. You know, we have our special guest. He's going to be on at 8:03, but we got to start by saying good morning to David Weinstein. So, David, good morning, sir. So we went ahead and grab that microphone and just so we can hear you say good morning.
Good morning,
Tom. Ah, there you are. Okay. Yeah. And we really have an exciting show coming up at 8:03 because we're going to talk about something that's been around since 2019, but they just in the process and going through a rebranding and adding new things and really exciting things you're going to want to hear about. And it's all within this concept that we've been talking about all morning, is that Tucson back in the 80s and 90s didn't really have a lot to do for families. We were a tourism city, of course, 4 or 5 million people coming every year. But there wasn't a lot of things to do for families. You know, so that's all changed. Probably started in the 2000s. And really this phenomena of the Family Entertainment Center, because of our population, has really, really grown. And there's a lot of new properties out there. And we'll talk a little bit about that and what sets the Jumping Cholla Trampoline Park different from the other FECs here in town. But, you know, we also talked about the range, you know, what area that they focus on as well. And, Tucson being kind of spread out, you know, maybe an hour from one diagonal end to another diagonal end, gives us a lot of opportunities to have different and a variety of family entertainment centers. Now, we've had a couple that have been around for a long time, like Fantastics. David, you're probably familiar with them. But some of the new activities that are going on, I think that you're going to be excited to hear about. So we'll be right. We're going to be back in that in just a few minutes. But we want to thank Natalie for coming on. Old Tucson is trying to also, you know, kind of revive their product and add some new things for families to do. And, you know, if you're going to put a new ride in, put it in where a mom and dad can ride with you, okay? And not all the children's rides were built that way. Back in the Alan Herschel days, so you probably don't know who the heck Alan Herschel was, but he was a developer of children's rides. If you remember sitting in a kind of a cylinder with a little machine gun, and you were shooting the guy in front of you, or a little boat ride where you were dinging the bell. You know, those were generally, and they were circle rides. Those were built by a gentleman called Alan Herschel, and I know all of you folks that, especially when you're, when you were a kid, and then when you had kids, you were enjoying the little pony rides. And the little wagon rides, and of course, carousels. Now, carousels have been around for a long, long time. And we're really an important kind of staple. And Alan Herschel built a carousel, and it's now at Treldas Town and at Old Tucson. So we have two old Alan Herschel carousel rides where the horses were actually carved out of wood, and then they went into a mold, and they came out. If you didn't want to have a wood horse, you had an aluminum horse. And the good thing about aluminum horses, they were a lot lighter, and they would hold up to the paint. So we're talking about attractions today. Today we're talking about family entertainment attractions in particular. This is what we do here every Thursday. We talk about tourism attractions and special events. And we'll be back in just a few moments with Tim. And Tim, our co-host, will tell you a little bit more about some of the special events that are going on here. This is The Morning Voice, and we're so happy you're listening to us today on KVOI 1030, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
And once again, we are streaming on Facebook. You go to 1030 The Voice on Facebook. That's our page. Hit the like and follow button, and you can see your voice. We'll be right back.
Thank you for coming back for the second hour. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. I am here every Thursday, and we talk about the attractions and the events and really things that are going on that you can do with your spouse or your family or your friends and, or your loved ones, anybody. You want to get out of that house and experience Tucson in Southern Arizona. So we've been talking about family entertainment parks, or things to do with families. Quality time is what it's all about with the family. And we have a very special guest on today, David Weinstein. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, everyone.
So Dave and I met at an event not too long ago, and so I gave him a call after my trip to Miami, and where I broke my shoulder. But I don't have the shoulder cast on anymore or anything, but I'm healing. That's the most important thing, David. So, but we're back. I don't think I missed a show, which is great. And one of the things that, as we talked about in the 7 o'clock hour, David, was this really phenomena of, as we're growing and our population up until at least maybe a year or so ago was getting younger. It's kind of stabilized now, according to the Census Bureau. But we still have a large group of young people that are here. Medium age is in the 30s. So, you know, people might think it's 55. You know, well, we do have a large senior population here. We have a lot of family living centers, and which is great because they have, a lot of them have grandkids and they bring them in, yeah. You know, which is great. And but family is entertainment, very important subject for us to explore. We don't, you know, you never have enough time to. But one of the emerging family entertainment centers who is actually in the process of increasing and rebranding is a facility that David is the managing partner of. And but before we get into the details, David, what we try to do here at the top of each hour is to talk a little bit about Tim's, who is the co-host, who's sitting comfortably on his couch today. He didn't have to venture out there in the 100 and whatever it is. Talks about his two or three favorite events that are going on this weekend. So good morning, Tim.
Good morning, and comfortably on my wheelchair.
Okay. Well, yes, I'm glad to hear that. So could you go ahead and give us a quick little rundown on those two or three most favorite events that you would recommend folks to go see?
And good morning, David.
Good morning, Tim.
Discovery Nights at the Children's Museum Tucson. Visit the Children's Museum Tucson for a free night of science, art, including story times, pop-up science experiments, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, so tonight. Just a great facility, well-managed, they just do a great job. And then Saguaro Sunset Nights. Saguaro Sunset Night Market, June 28th from 6 to 9:30 at Old Tucson Studios. Just a fantastic way to see Old Tucson when it's cooler. It's much cooler out there. And a great way to see an eclectic array of arts, crafts, food vendors, for a summer evening of strolling the historic Main Street of Old Tucson, the town square, supporting local artists. It's just a fantastic way to start your Saturday night. And I'd highly recommend, if you're going over Tucson Mountain Pass, Gates Pass, visit the Desert Museum as well for their cool summer evenings on Saturday nights. The cool thing about Old Tucson is entry and parking are free, and all the restaurants are going to be open, the bars are open, rides and attractions are open. So what a fantastic way to spend your Saturday night. And then Sunset Cruise In tomorrow over at the Tucson Auto Museum, which I've not been to yet, but I hear it's fantastic.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, over 80 cars, yeah. And they're all one of a kind.
And they're in mint condition. They're just absolutely gorgeous.
And, Tom, you know I'm a car guy, so.
You would really enjoy it. They relocated to the old Hidden Valley Inn, one of our old stomping grounds, Tim?
Oh, absolutely.
So how do we find out more information about these and others, Timmy?
We would recommend you go to thisistucson.com and visit tucson.org to learn more about what's going on in Tucson. We just have tremendous events going on.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, some of our sponsors of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and the Morning Voice is Visit Tucson, what we call our DMO, our Destination Marketing Organization, who promotes the heck out of Tucson throughout the world. And we thank them for being a sponsor of this show. And then This Is Tucson, which is really the Arizona Daily Star, and Tucson.com, and they have a partnership there of working with us, and This Is Tucson is an online kind of entertainment magazine, and we're so thankful that they help us know more about the activities that are going on here in town. So
great digital publication.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. So David, good morning again. The Jump in Cholla Trampoline Park. You know, we were talking about the phenomena of family entertainment and how we're growing. I think there's maybe two or three now that are opening up or have opened up in the last, are opening up in the last 3 weeks or during the summer. And, but you've been around since 2019. So you've had several years to learn about what the folks here or the folks visiting are looking for. And so I'm new kind of to the family entertainment. So I asked David to come on board to share with us some of his insights into developing what he went through during the strategic discussions when they decided to rebrand. David, before we've always had this little bit of a tradition, because we're going to be on the air until 9 o'clock, but we got 4 minutes left in this section. We'd like to get to know a little bit about who you are, David.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks again for having me. Who am I? I actually came out of the healthcare industry.
Okay.
Healthcare technology. Little interesting fact. There's a large company no one's ever heard of called SureScripts, and it's an electronic clearinghouse for medical prescriptions. So every time your doctor zaps a prescription to the pharmacy or the pharmacy requests a refill authorization, it goes through that clearinghouse. So I was the founding CEO of that company.
Wow.
Back around 2000. And I've done a bunch of different work in that business, most recently with a company developing a blood biomarker test for multiple sclerosis. But having said all that, you know, business is business. And a good friend of mine, who's my partner actually in the park, he had approached me, I guess it was 2017, 2018, and he was looking at an opportunity in San Diego to buy a trampoline park. And he asked me to kind of look into it, maybe run the numbers, see what I thought. And my response was, there's too much to do there. There's like five of these things within three blocks. There's SeaWorld, there's the Wild Animal Park. So I'm not sure it's the best idea. But at the same time, my son was going to the U of A and I had become more familiar with Tucson and said, you know what? I think we should look in this market. I think it really could use something like this. So that's kind of how we started, and we were fortuitous to have a good real estate broker, and she had given us a heads up that the JCPenney home store wouldn't be renewing their lease, and so we kind of went for it.
Now, what are some of the actual steps that you did before you ultimately chose Tucson, besides the location, of course?
We did research on population, competition. And then one interesting fact that I learned along the way is that these parks do better when it's hot. And so Tucson had that going for it. And the other thing was, if with my partner and I, if we were going to do a business, we wanted to do something that was Amazon-proof, because Amazon kind of just plows through industries and they're very good. But you can't do an experience like this online. You can't do the exercise and the like. So we really like that about it.
Right. Pull your microphone a little bit closer to you.
Sure.
That way you don't pick up the echo.
Okay.
What you do, you did your due diligence.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, that perspective, Amazon proof. And I understand exactly what you went through here to do that. And any particular reason why you picked that part of Tucson?
Well, there's the availability of what spaces were there.
Okay.
But another part of the research that we uncovered was, it's better to have a place where it's at some age range, parents can drop off their kids who don't drive, but then the parents have something nearby to do.
Oh,
and so the proximity of the Tucson Mall and other things in the area was terrific. And the building itself had the right ceiling height. To do these parks right, you need 20, 21, 22 foot clearance. And so it's a big box stores, right? You can't just put it in a, kind of a 10 foot shotgun. It doesn't work for trampolines because of the bouncing, and then building the platform as well.
Well, we're going to be right back after our break, and we're going to learn a lot more about what are the kinds of activities, but more importantly, maybe how did you choose the activities? Because you didn't, while you said you had a lot of space, you probably had more ideas of what to put in the space than you did that you had space available. So it'll be interesting to hear about that. This is The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back with David Weinstein from Jumpin' Cholla. Well, we're back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're here with David Weinstein, the managing partner of Jumpin' Cholla. What a great name, that wonderful name. We were talking about this in the 7 o'clock hour, David, about what are the things that kids like to do. And besides the running and jumping and crawling and climbing, and I remember we would go out and spend this tremendous amount of dollars on Christmas presents, and they end up playing inside one of the boxes. and he's like, "What is this all about?" So when the family entertainment, we talked about some of the early on family entertainment centers in the 7 o'clock hour, and certainly Matt's favorite place where they served pizza. Do you remember going there as a kid?
Peter Piper?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and
remember the guy doing the commercials? He was famous in Phoenix.
Yeah. And what did you do when you were there? Were you a kid or an adult, or both?
A lot of pizza. Yeah, and played pinball. So if a pizza place had pinball, I'd play a lot of pinball.
Yeah, and air hockey was the first place where you got to see
that.
Air hockey? Yeah,
of course.
Okay, and we spent probably way too much time, and having worked in the amusement park, I was playing skee ball. My kids were playing skee ball at 3, and I got a chance to be the games manager for a park in New York, so I had a whole new business side of operating games and arcades. And the day when they started replacing games with circuit boards was my best day. So because I didn't have to spend hours with my little meter trying to figure out where the heck something going wrong with the pinball machine. Arcades, obviously family entertainment centers, it seems like there are some norms, okay? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you have to keep the norms. And so you opened in 2019, and you had kind of a package in the sense that you knew exactly what you wanted to do. But then with new technology coming on board and everything, if you didn't have the space, you had to figure out what came out, or you had to wait for maybe that right opportunity. So you learned a lot those first years.
Yeah.
And were you pretty spot on, as far as your strategic? So what are the two or three things you know you were spot on? And then what is there maybe one or two things that that you maybe didn't get right?
Well,
you got it all right. That's okay.
No. You never get it all right. What we certainly got right was location. It's a terrific location. It's bounded by two arterial roads, river and stone. It's near the Tucson Mall, so, and restaurants and other things for parents to do if they're dropping off their kids. The building was right. It's the right size. It's big enough to put a lot of attractions in and has the ceiling height that we needed. And when we moved in, we had the landlord put in all new air conditioning, which turned out to be spot on.
So you had a good landlord was another one of the pluses.
Well, I guess one we were able to negotiate with.
Okay.
In fact, I was a little bit taken aback. I mean, I'm not from Tucson originally. In our first 6 months, the number one comment in our positive Google reviews was the air conditioning, and nothing to do with
well,
what was inside.
That was one of your criteria.
Right.
Place it where it is hot.
Yes.
Not San Diego, where right. It's nice outdoors every day.
But I thought it'd be a secondary right. factor. It turned out to be, and still is, a primary one. We had a good architect. So when you come into the park, it's very dramatic. It has kind of a diagonal. There's a zip line right by the front door, so it kind of creates a sense of excitement as you come in, which is always good to jazz up the folks as they're getting ready to play and jump. And I think we had a variety, and we still do, to talk to different age groups, right? Because if you've got one child, well, okay, when they're little, they can go to a place. So, could go to us or go to another place that just says little kid stuff. And as they get older, and then they go on their own.
Yeah, right. But it's like the 3-year-old, 2-year-old, 1-year-old can do a ball crawl.
Exactly.
But does the 7 or 8 or 9-year-old, they probably don't want to do the ball crawl. They want to be on the zip line.
Right. But if I got a 4 and a 10.
Right. Yeah.
Then it really narrows down where you're gonna take them both.
That's
where
right.
They're both going to be happy. And so we've got that variety. I think what we did, I would say wrong, but it was kind of the norm at the time, and we're evolving out of that, is that we had a lot of foam cubes. And the foam cubes are hard to maintain. In fact, the little kids like to
pick
at them and like write letters on them and draw monsters.
Yes, please don't do this when you go to La Jolla.
Right. So we've kind of slowly been replacing those attractions with non-foam attractions. But you know, live and learn, that was good. We learned about the different types or sizes of birthday parties, kind of the distribution, and we modified our rooms accordingly. And we kind of figured out an interesting solution. I mean, we had some people, including parents, surprisingly say, well, hey, why don't you put in a video arcade? I'm like, well, I don't know. I feel like the whole idea is to have people exercise here. So over time, we've got two new attractions that are, they're video games, but they're games that you have to play either by throwing balls at a screen or chasing monsters or spacecraft with your feet. So they require, so no fingers. They require exercise with your body. So that's kind of our theme. You know, it's got to be exercise, kind of healthy socialization, I guess.
So that's got to be a major point of difference between you and your competitors.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, arcades have their place, and then people can go there. But I think we're different in that regard. Yeah, for sure.
Well, so obviously, if you were to look at your mission and your vision statement, that would come out, because everything has to kind of like meet this criteria.
Yeah, I think we try to focus on healthy socialization. So it's also not just from an exercise point of view. Kids, they don't have something to do, they get in trouble, right? And go, hang out in the wrong places. But this is a very positive experience.
Now, you mentioned that one of your other criteria, which I have never heard, which makes sense, is that you wanted to locate near an area where there were other things to do. Maybe perhaps if mom and dad wanted to just drop their kids off for a little bit. But is there a nice balance between the mom and dad who want to participate, be, you know, whether it be observation or some even better that participate versus just dropping them off.
Oh, 100%. In fact, we're very liberal in a couple of ways, which I think are very community oriented. One is if a parent or grandparent, for that matter, wants to observe and not jump, we don't charge anything. They get a free observer band. And we also let people bring in, this might sound shocking to you, but bring in outside food. So we really try to make it about, you know, you're paying for the rides, for the attractions.
But you do have a snack bar.
We do have a snack bar.
All right. So we're going to be back here with David Weinstein from Jumping Cholla. It's a great name. Trampoline Park. Because Trampoline Park is kind of like a little bit of a misnomer. So you'll explain that to us, why you kept that during your rebranding. It's Tom Moulton. This is The Morning Voice. We'll be right back.
You can follow along on Facebook. 1030 The Voice is the Facebook page. Click that like and follow button, and you can watch. You can see your voice.
Well, thank you, Matt. And yes, we are on Facebook. We're still in the experimental stage of being part of the podcast family that seems like every out-of-work news person decides to do their own podcast. But I think it's just part of where we want to share our 5 days of wonderful community leaders that are broadcasting and kind of emphasizing the positive things that are happening here in Tucson. And we have a very positive thing that is happening here where we're finally starting to match with things for families to do with brand new indoor family year-round entertainment centers. And we're here today talking about one of those, and the managing partner is here, David Weinstein. We learned a lot of things about what has helped them grow, okay? And somewhere along the line, David, you had mentioned that it was time to take a look at the industry, take a look at Tucson in general. We came out of COVID when you were actually closed, you had mentioned, during that time period. And so in a sense, I'm not sure that it's probably a complete reimagination, but you mentioned that you you had some thoughts and some ideas, and not only did you just add new things, you actually wanted to rebrand as well for lots of reasons. But so let's start with that a little bit about, so you're operating through 2019, COVID hits, you reopen with very stringent cleaning and duties, and of course, obviously there's a lot of people contact, during the kind of activities that you have, but now COVID's gone, and then what happened?
As far as the rebranding goes,
yes.
So let's just dial back in time.
Okay.
When we opened, we were a franchisee of an organization called Circus Tricks. They're one of the pioneers in the whole trampoline park business, and originally they had. They branded each town that they were in differently. They had like spider monkeys and just different names. And then in 2019, when we signed up with them, they decided to just rebrand their business as Defy. And so we were Defy Tucson for 5 years. But along the way, they merged with two other companies, one called Sky Zone and one called Rock and Jump. And there are parks all over the country of those two names. And Sky Zone ended up being kind of the parent organization of the three original companies. And unlike, for example, Marriott Corporation supports, I don't know, it is 6, 7, 8 brands. You have JW, Fairfield Inn, Residence Inn, etc.
Lots of brands.
Sky Zone decided to take a different approach, which I would call the McDonald's approach, which is one brand, right? And so it's Sky Zone or separate. And we just felt that it was better to separate and allow us to really address the local market a little bit better than we could. Because when you're a franchisee, there's there's pluses and minuses, but one of the minuses is you have to say, you know, may I do this, may I do that, even if it's to accommodate something local. And then the name, you know, instead of saying, well, Tucson Jump or just something very generic, you know, there's a cactus out there that you don't get too close to it, but it's called the Jumping Troy, and it just seemed perfect for us.
It's a great name, and of course, yeah, you get near a Cholla and you don't have to touch it.
Right.
It's kind of like my computer sometimes. I get near it, and okay, wait a minute, I didn't push this key.
And in fact, if you go to YouTube and search for Jumping Cholla attacks, you'll have some, I think they're kind of silly, but people who get too close deliberately so they could show their friends, and those they hurt.
Well, there's a lot to say about a name, and one of the important criteria of a name is say what you are, don't say what you want them to believe you are, but say, go ahead and say what you are.
Right.
And it matched up with your mission statement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So rebranding then, your only restrictions are your imagination and your pocketbook.
That's fair. And maybe the size of our real estate.
That's right. You can't necessarily buy the store next to you.
Exactly. So we've been strategically, you know, changing our attractions or upgrading them over time. Right after the separation, we embarked. We removed one of the foam pits and put in something called Bounce Run, which is a relay race, but it's on inflatable objects, and it's just been absolutely just wildly, you know, popular among the customers. And this late summer, fall, we're going to be putting in something called Soft Play. It's a three-story structure. It's more geared toward the younger crowd. It has slides and all kinds of activities on it, and we're very excited about it.
Now, there's two main shows that you can see all this stuff that is available. One is the IAPA, International Association Amusement Parks. Does the FEC folks have their own shows still as well?
Yeah, there's one. I think it sounds similar to IAPA. I think it has four letters. You know, maybe it's the IATA, Trampoline Association.
Okay, so
yeah.
Every business has an association.
Yes.
And since you mentioned the word trampoline, okay, now, back when I was growing up, and I'm a little bit older than you are, when you said we're going to the trampoline park, that's exactly where we were going. You would see all of these trampolines over a pit, okay? Not a lot of safety in the sense that you could still jump off of the trampoline. You wouldn't fall into the pit, but you would fall in the springs. Now, obviously, then they put the pads on, you know, to avoid that. Safety is, but so that's what I envision when someone says a trampoline park. But you still, during your rebranding, kept that on. Why did you do that?
I would call it kind of the, you know, the Kleenex factor. I mean,
okay.
the it just has an anchoring in people's brains about, you know, what it is. So we just thought it made a lot of sense. But you're right. I don't know what the official tag is, but I think we're either now in generation 3 or 4 of so-called trampoline parks. The original ones, not only were they just trampolines, but they were located in industrial parks, right? And so you had to kind of go and find them, primarily because the real estate was super cheap. But now the industry's evolved, and as have we when we opened, to be more in a retail center.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with all the attributes of a retail center, including not necessarily, we hope, not the one number one reason of why they're going to Jumping Cholla is, but one of the most important ones for the summer is the air conditioning.
Yeah, we found a little bit to my astonishment. I mean, we knew it was important, but our Google reviews, that was the number one attribute that people, some reviews just said they had great air conditioning, 5 stars. So then, like, well, what about what's inside? They're just happy to get cool.
So are you still you and your assistant, your general manager, and your assistant general manager, which are operations oriented, as you mentioned? So safety is a big concern, certainly, with and putting an operations person in charge of the day-to-day was a very smart move. You don't want to put a marketing person in charge
no.
of safety. Oh, yeah, go ahead and do it. You know, it's a risk. We can do that. We have insurance. No, you don't want to do that. So are you and your partner travel around and visiting these new FECs in town and seeing what the heck they're doing and brainstorming from there?
Absolutely, and not just in town.
Okay.
Before opening the park, we went around to many other parks and just kind of, sometimes you just go there and see, okay, they got 15 things, like, but where are the customers going?
Right.
Like, one thing we learned to our surprise, because it seemed really cool, like, one option we had was to put in a big rock wall, and they're expensive.
Right.
And we went to three places with rock walls, and I think we saw a total of two people use them in 6 hours. So we say, you know, probably not
so,
the best use of our space.
So climbing of that list of the things kids like to do isn't necessarily at the top of the list.
Apparently not.
Okay. You wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. They're almost like kittens, right? I mean, they like jumping up and down.
Right. Well, and there, I mean, obviously, it's not necessarily maybe a safety perception, because the way they have them now, where there's no way you're going to fall,
right?
But it does take a lot of physical exertion to climb those.
Yes.
So that's interesting. But you've also found some things that you wish you had or one day will have.
Right, and that goes to the soft play concept. We visited. I saw one ironically in the San Diego market of all things, because there's tons of parks there. Very popular. And I said, you know, okay, that's something we really need to consider doing. And then we pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah, it's interesting, the foam versus inflatables. And there is an inflatable organization, and there's most likely a foam. a lot of these play centers incorporate some of the elements that you have into one, like your three-story plan, you know, where there may be individual elements within that three-story, but if you combine them together, you know, it becomes a very popular attraction. You know, it's a little different than in Flagstaff, where you do bridges and you do zip lines and you do everything, and you're connected by a cable that runs above you, but you're in the natural habitat. Here, you're creating the natural habitat, and you're creating the physical activity. And I loved you. We're going to go to a break here in about 10 seconds, but I really loved your explanation about the first impressions. Because being in the theme park industry indirectly, and when I was 50 years old, there was always a lot of talk about first and last impressions. And we spent a lot of money in the places that I worked in on especially that first impression, which actually, you know, was beyond just architect. It was also how do we get them inside the park quickly. But, and on the other hand, having somewhat of an assembly in front is pretty exciting too, because it's like parking you don't go to a restaurant when there's more than one car. You go to a restaurant when there's a lot of cars, you know. So some of that still, it continues. We're here with David Weinstein, and he's the managing partner of Jumping Cholla, the trampoline park. And we have one brief segment left. And thank you, David. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, we're back for the last segment here. This is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. And don't forget about Dr. Ackerley tomorrow. Is he going to have a live show or tomorrow?
Absolutely.
All right. So we don't pay much attention.
Better.
We don't pay much attention.
The rest of us will be here.
Yeah. Dr. Ackerley, you have to be here. It's mandatory. We're here 5 days a week with a different host, and boy, you just have to tune in because all of the shows are different. All right, so we're here with David Weinstein, Jumping Choi. We learned about how he came up with the great name, which makes a lot of sense, and why the trampoline park. It's kind of like we were talking about the baseball company, coming in, and my criteria, and of course I'm not a managing partner or anything like that, you got to have the word Tucson in there. You got to tell people where you are, and don't use it for a secondary or tertiary. It's what, so Tucson Toros, Tucson Sidewinders, makes a lot of sense to me, but again, I don't have a dollar into it, so, but that's my advice. David, in the sense of lots and lots of competitors out there, I think we were able to talk about a little bit of the points of difference that you have. You got a zip line in there, which is really neat. But tell us a little bit about how do we find out more information about just being a regular visitor and also the birthday parties?
Sure. Well, more information, our website is Jump Choya, not Jumping Choya, but jumpchoya.com. We also have an app, Google Play in the App Store for rewards. And you can talk to your friends. I mean, we've had a lot of, over time, 5 years, I think we've had 10% of Pima County have come through. So somebody you know, first, second, or third order probably has been there.
So is Instagram important to you? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
We have Instagram, Facebook.
So you want to see a lot of pictures.
Yes.
About Jumping Choya.
Yep. And in fact, we just had a 360 tour done. So we're going to publish that
okay.
shortly.
Okay. So there's a guy or a gal out there with the 360 technology, and that's really neat stuff.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff, like you see in a real estate market. We have birthday parties, very popular. They can be as small as five. The birthday boy or girl is always free, but as small as five and as large as can be. I mean, we've had parties 50, 60 people. We have a weekly summer camp through the end of July while school is out. And that's a lot of fun, including extended care. We have special events. We have a weekly family night where families get to jump as a group on Monday nights at a special price. We've got a club night on Friday and Saturday night, which is more geared toward the teenagers or young adults, 7 to 9. But I'd say come on down and check it out.
That's wonderful, David. Well, thank you very much for spending your morning with us. So we're going to have a little breakfast afterwards to talk a little bit more in detail about Jumping Choi and how the SAAA can help them. Tomorrow, again, Dr. Ackerley. Next week, the University of Arizona Pharmacy Museum will be here. This will be really interesting. Why this is important to all the research that's going on at the University of Arizona. And you can learn about the history of the pharmacy. It's not all about Walgreens. There's a lot more stuff going on. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Thursday. This is Tom Moulton, and I'm your host for the Morning Voice here on KVUI, trusted local news and talk. Have a good day.